It lays the predicate and the foundation for the development of a weather satellite that will permit man to determine the world's cloud layer and ultimately to control the weather. And he who controls the weather will control the world.
Loneliness does not come from having no people around us, but from being unable to communicate the things that seem important to oneself, or from holding certain views which others find inadmissible. A quote from Carl Jung, and though I fully realize that Jung may be a polarizing figure to some, nuggets of inarguable wisdom can be found in countless places. We must all continue our search for truth wherever it may exist. We must all learn to sift the baby from the bathwater, so to speak. We must all learn to fully utilize our sense of reason, which is our greatest gift. The truth is this: unfolding realities are far too frightening for most in our power structure programmed and pacified societies to face or accept. Thus, the vast majority have so far generally chosen to respond with ridicule and denial to unpleasant and unwanted realities that are presented to them by those who are showing the courage to fully face the truth. The vast majority have so far chosen to go on about their routines as if there are no converging calamities closing in on us from all sides. This paradigm, this scenario of denial, must be broken. The masses must be awakened and rallied to the front line of the fight for the greater good, or we will have no chance of even short-term survival on our dying planet. This is Dane Wigginton. You're listening to the Global Alert News Hour for March 17th, 2018. This, as always, is a commercial-free news hour brought to you by geoengineeringwatch.org and is broadcast throughout Northern California, 1670 AM, 104.9 FM, and 105.7 FM, Saturday mornings from 6 to 7 AM and Sunday mornings from 7 AM to 8 AM. Global Alert News also rebroadcast on the East Coast by the PRN Radio Network, our new time slot there, Wednesdays at 2 PM Eastern Time. Recordings of this broadcast can be found at geoengineeringwatch.org under the recent top stories and radio sections. As always, if you're in the Redding area, Shasta County, free geoengineeringwatch.org informational materials can be picked up from Orchard Nutrition. For those not in the Redding area, the latest geoengineeringwatch.org awareness-raising materials can be ordered from the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org for our approximate cost of producing and shipping. The Gem Fair events this week, again, Gem Fair, G-E-M-F-A-I-R-E, very, very consistent and committed ally to the fight to expose and halt climate engineering. This week's event, starting yesterday, ending tomorrow, Reno, Nevada at the Reno Sparks Livestock Events Center. Next week, Eugene, Oregon at the Lane County Events Center for the upcoming Gem Fair events. Beyond that date, check the Gem Fair website online. Show up if you're near those areas, get materials, help to circulate them, help us to sound the alarm. I want to announce my sympathy for a friend and trusted ally in this fight, Jack Godino, and his son, Aaron Godino, who was also a staunch supporter of the fight to expose and halt climate engineering, who caught the, quote, flu and has now died. And Aaron worked in a facility next to George Air Force Base in Adelanto, California. And we believe that George Air Force Base is one location where the aircraft are being retrofitted for the ongoing atmospheric aerosol spraying operations. Again, Aaron worked next to that facility and reported often experimentation going on, some atmospheric spraying right over that area. He caught the flu and has now died. 39 years old, strong young man, and these are perplexing circumstances. Many are becoming sick. We, all of us, inarguably, no matter what other factors are in our life, no matter what other sources of contamination, there is absolutely no question that the toxic materials raining down through the air column are a factor in the increased ill health of populations. There is no question it is a factor. So my condolences to Jack. And again, we've lost a very powerful and committed activist in this fight. The trend of civilization continues to be this: as biosphere implosion accelerates, the desperation of power structures will also accelerate and manifest. This is most especially true in regard to the Western power structure. The Western power structure is desperate to acquire the resources it needs to continue the maintenance and expansion of its military might. What country indisputably has the most remaining natural resources on the planet? Consider this report, titled Natural Resources in Russia. From this report, Russia is richer in natural resources than any other country in the world. It has abundant supplies of oil, natural gas, timber, and valuable minerals such as copper, diamonds, lead, zinc, bauxite, nickel, tin, mercury, and gold and silver, most of which are located in Siberia and the Far East. The value of Russia's resources is immense. Consider, is it really any wonder that the Western power structure has its sights set squarely on Russia now that it has toppled and destabilized most of the Middle Eastern countries, looting, plundering, and pillaging their resources already? So the Western power structure and the power structure-controlled media continue to orchestrate and spin event after event that is then blamed on Russia in the attempt to galvanize public support for potential future military aggression against this resource-rich nation. The unfortunate truth is this, as I have stated countless times, the U.S. military is not about spreading freedom and democracy. It is about acquiring the resources the empire needs to maintain its power. Does this mean countries like Russia are innocent? No. I have never said that. What it means is this, the level of criminality and corruption is in direct proportion to the size of the military-industrial cancer in question. Which cancer is exponentially the largest? We all know the answer. The U.S. military is bigger than the next 10 largest militaries combined. There is the answer to the question of cancerous corruption. There's this headline from deprogram.net and others. Trump fires Tillerson to put CIA in charge of State Department. Globalists rejoice. From that report, Donald Trump fired Secretary of State Rex Tillerson, not that he was worth anything either, and nominated CIA Director Mike Pompeo to the glee of the Rothschild globalists. Yes, this is reality. No change, as I have said over and over, all smoke and mirrors. The White House always has been a part of the shadow government. No question, anyone who occupies it also a puppet in the play. Clinton, Obama, and Trump. Bush, I could go on. A continuation of the power structure desperation is highlighted here. Continuing with the theme of the military-industrial complex aggression, here's an update on the winter weather warfare being waged against U.S. populations. This is ongoing every week. Winter Storm Skylar last week, the third nor'easter in 10 days. The Weather Channel paid liars, astoundingly knew what the composition of the snow would be before the first flake ever even fell. How? How do they know? Now, even though many local forecasters can no longer accurately predict the weather, even hours ahead of time, thanks to climate engineering, the script readers at the power structure-owned sources like the Weather Channel are calling for a fourth nor'easter in just over 2 weeks, if that happens next week. If the geoengineers are able to manufacture this fourth nor'easter, it will be named Winter Storm Toby. The paid liars at the Weather Channel are tasked with covering the tracks of the climate engineering weather terrorists and the engineered weather events. And what mantra do we constantly hear coming from the Weather Channel, climate engineering cover-up source? Trust us. Over and over, they say trust us. While they're, again, covering up the constant parade of chemically ice-nucleated engineered winter weather events, patented processes of chemical ice nucleation. And I state again, there is no legitimate discussion about climate engineering without including that process first and foremost, and it is being used absolutely everywhere now. Anywhere there's enough moisture for the climate engineers to cool down the surface temperatures using chemical ice nucleating elements, they are doing so. These are energy absorbing elements. They're called endothermic reacting elements. Absolutely happening. I saw a forecast yesterday morning for the snow falling in this case, Reno, or predicted to fall at 40 plus degrees. These elements can start the frozen precipitation process at temperatures far above freezing, what we would normally consider freezing temperatures. And as this process continues, it increases the cold layer on the ground, lowering temperatures even further. Chemical ice nucleation for weather modification, major, major aspect of climate engineering that too many people are not focusing on and not researching. Other sources are also toeing the line for the climate engineering cover-up lie for the power structure. Here's a headline from the site robertscribbler.com. Please write down and search out this site and help me to ask the head of this site first why he will not reveal his actual identity next, and more importantly, why he is only willing to tell half-truths. Again, the site is robertscribbler.com. He has not responded to any of my attempts to pass geoengineering information onto him. He does not want to know about it. Here's the headline from that site. Why are so many powerful nor'easters, which I just spoke about, striking New England? From his site, half-truth. So to sum up, an extreme polar warming event driven in large part by human-caused climate change, no mention of climate engineering, of course, ever, set up conditions that generated a persistent trough over the U.S. East Coast. This trough was both deep and long-lasting. As low-pressure systems moved into the trough zone, they were able to tap abnormal levels of heat and moisture rising off the Gulf of Mexico. Does that sound like the conditions for a winter storm? Abnormal levels of heat and moisture, which was then chemically ice nucleated. The moisture is needed for the chemical ice nucleation process. Do sources like this even question the fact that how can we have a winter storm off moisture that came from the record warm Gulf of Mexico? They don't question it. And that's criminal. Record levels of heat and moisture rising off the Gulf of Mexico and Atlantic Ocean near the coast in order to bloom to an abnormally powerful intensity. Both of these factors, Arctic warming and warmer than normal sea surface temperatures, would not have been as acute or intense without the extra push to the climate system that human force warming provides. As a result, we are seeing very strong climate change related signals in the presence of severe storm patterns. Does this, any of this, warm Gulf of Mexico water, warm Atlantic water, warm conditions somehow produces a winter storm? From Robert Scribbler. Does that make any sense at all? No, not unless you include climate engineering and chemical ice nucleation for weather modification. Not unless. Another source. Here's a headline from the Washington Post. Same theme, covering up the tracks of the climate engineers. Rapid Arctic warming and melting ice are increasing the frequency of blizzards in the Northeast, study finds. Three blockbuster winter storms, this is from last week before our next storm is coming, have bombarded the Northeast this month. Meanwhile, Arctic sea ice fell to record low winter levels. Temperatures in the dead of winter rocketed to the melting point at the North Pole, nearly 60 degrees above normal. We don't hear about that, do we? I talk about it, but we don't hear about it from many other sources, that's for sure. So here we have the Washington Post, like Robert Scribbler, pretending that somehow all the melting ice in the Arctic, the warming of the planet, is producing winter storms. That's a lie. That's an absolute lie. The geoengineers and chemical ice nucleation are the core causal factor behind the parade of theatrically named winter storms on the most populated parts of the planet, especially in Western civilizations, to keep them pacified and confused as to the true state of the climate and the true state of biosphere implosion until the last possible moment. That's what this is about. Let's add this new headline report to the equation that I'm on. This one is from earther.com. Can we make sure geoengineering doesn't backfire? Too late for that. Far too late. The geoengineering card was played 7 decades ago, and now the damage is irreparable. Irreparable. From this report, solar geoengineering, alter the atmosphere to reflect more sunlight back into space and cool the planet, has moved from the scientific fringes into mainstream climate mitigation discourse. Now, think of the absurdity of this, and I talk about this a lot. How can I not? What kind of planet of insanity do we live in when the whole of academia refuses to acknowledge the climate engineering elephant in the room? And by the way, yesterday, I engaged in two debates live on air, WBAI in New York. I think they have those debates now posted online. One with Ottawa climate scientist Paul Beckwith and one with Caltech scientist Douglas McMartin. Listen to those debates and ask yourself how those individuals can be so blind to the climate engineering phenomena that is inarguable, that data absolutely proves conclusively is and has been happening for 7 decades, and ask yourself if they can be that blind, or are they not telling the truth? You decide. Two debates I engaged in yesterday. So now we have, again, Earther.com trying to tell us, as many other sources are, that we might have to climate engineer as if it's not going on above our heads day in, day out. And we have a population that's willing to accept that because the real truth is far too frightening for them. Another headline. Continuing on the theme of half-truth headlines, consider this from the Washington Post. Climate change is literally turning the Arctic Ocean inside out. Again, no mention of climate engineering, ionosphere heaters that heat the ionosphere, heat the atmosphere, cause various pressure zones, and thus steer upper-level wind currents, which in turn misdirect ocean currents, which plugs into this headline, but no admission of any of that. Of course not, because again, the power structure obviously does not want the public to wake up to the grand and lethal experiment which they have been committed to without their knowledge and consent, an experiment from which there is no return. Again, from the Washington Post, climate change is literally turning the Arctic Ocean inside out. And by the way, on this article, the author Chris Mooney, a major environmental article author who, just like Robert Scribler, criminally omits the climate engineering elephant in the sky. And I can use all the help I can get with sending credible geoengineering data to Mr. Mooney, Mr. Scribbler, and others like them. Ask them to tell the whole truth, to show some courage and tell the whole truth. Back to the report again that blames increasing off-track ocean currents on climate change alone, with the glaring omission of climate engineering. Though the human race has been unimaginably poor stewards of the planet, there's no arguing that, not rationally, and we have decimated the environment and the climate in far too many ways to quantify, the unacknowledged climate engineering elephant in the room must be brought into the full light of day. In regard to those who claim the Arctic ice is being intentionally melted, again, that does not hold up to any honest examination of the data. Not that climate engineering isn't having that net effect, it is. But in the attempt to try to mask the implosion of the polar regions with chemical ice nucleation, they are in effect capping that heat in the oceans. They're unable to release that heat. And this makes the overall situation worse, not better. But that is not the intent. And we have seen, and I watched the ice graphs daily from 2007 when the ice began to implode and massive chemical ice nucleation operations were unleashed on the Arctic, rebounding the surface ice extent, even on ocean temperatures that should not have supported that ice, enough so that the climate science community were scratching their heads trying to figure out how that ice could have reestablished after such a crash. Same thing happened in 2012. Same thing's happening right now. Right now. Massive chemical ice nucleation operations. And we have this on satellite imagery. It's very visible. Looks like a chemical spill on the surface. You can look at these images at geoengineeringwatch.org. Search out the correct subject. Arctic chemical ice nucleation, anything along these subject lines, the article should surface from our search engine on the site. Find out what's going on in the polar regions. Again, only harm being done from climate engineering, but their attempt is to mask the implosion of the cryosphere, the ice deposits on the planet, from the public until the last possible moment. And the climate science community criminally is willing to pretend that everything happening is all just nature or result of other anthropogenic causes, while omitting the single greatest disrupting factor of all, climate engineering. This headline was just posted in the Washington Post, another one from the Post. Melting Swiss glaciers get unusual protection as weather warms, white blankets. Think of the absurdity of this. This year, like every year, a group of Swiss will travel through the mountains to the Rhone Glacier hauling huge white blankets, as E&E News reported in a recent article on geoengineering. It's another form of geoengineering. The annual hike is part of a doomed effort to protect the massive blocks of ice from rising summer heat. The blankets, their white color chosen to reflect the light before it strikes the ice, may slow the glacier's decline, but they won't stop it. Really, we would have never guessed that. Think of the utter and total futility of people like this dragging blankets up, trying to cover glaciers with blankets as they're imploding. And why won't people who put out such effort why wouldn't they focus that effort on finding out about climate engineering and what it's doing to the atmosphere, the natural processes of the planet, shredding the ozone layer, and accelerating global warming? Why wouldn't any rational person focus on exposing and halting that instead of hauling a blanket up a mountain and trying to cover a glacier? No sense of reason in many camps, none. This report is from Seymour Rock's news site and other sources. Massive snow loss in New Zealand's Southern Alps. Aerial survey shows snow loss, quote, incredibly extreme. Headlines like this all over the globe that we don't see here. No, what do we see? Record snow in Erie, Pennsylvania, or places where they've trained moisture off the record warm Great Lakes and piled up some chemically nucleated snow in a few places to create the headlines that then fuel the division and confusion in the population while the planet descends into total meltdown, with climate engineering helping to fuel the fire. This next headline, also from the Washington Post, again, and other sources. This dire ocean scenario is a stark reminder of why the world is trying to stop climate change. Again, no mention of climate engineering. Scientists on Thursday published an alarming scenario for what could happen to the planet's oceans and fisheries by the year 2300. Let's look at that date. By the year 2300, another pacifying headline by lying, cowardly, as Dr. Paul Craig Roberts calls them, prostitutes. That's what they are, to pacify the population. 2300, on this course, we will be long gone and our planet will be completely lifeless. On the current course, that's a mathematical certainty if we do not change directions. But these headlines pacify populations for all the reasons I cited earlier in this broadcast, because they really don't want to know, and that seems a long ways off, so they can go on about their own personal pursuits of pleasure and pretend that everything's fine. Back to the report again, citing 2300 as some sort of horizon where we could have a problem. If very high levels of global warming are allowed to continue, the study finds that in a future world of extreme warming, after Antarctic sea ice collapse and oceans are altered, large volumes of essential nutrients could, there's that word I cite every week because it's in so many mainstream articles, could become trapped in the Southern Ocean. Could, may, might, no, it's here. All of this is happening now. That, here we are again, could impair the growth of tiny marine organisms that form the base of the food chain in other parts of the world. Plankton's down nearly 60% already. There's no could about any of this. It's now. And that could trigger a 20% decline in fishery yields overall. Let's look at that statement, 20% decline. Let's see. I covered last week fisheries collapsing on the North American West Coast, 97% decline. And they're talking about a potential 20% decline by the year 2300. Total disinformation. Total disinformation. We need people that care about what's happening and want to do something about it need to find out what's actually going on in the front lines and expose this type of total disinformation from mainstream sources for what it is. Send credible data to the authors of these articles and call them out. Call them out and tell them that you add people to that list of email, by the way, so that these authors see that many are participating in this conversation. And make sure that they know that the public will hold them legally and morally accountable for the disinformation, which may lead us to global omicide, that they are participating in. Call them out, professionally, non-threateningly, but call them out. The computer modeling study also uses a worst-case scenario for the burning of fossil fuels to the year 2100. Let me stop there for a moment again. So we had 2300 mentioned earlier in this article, which is so beyond absurd, it's ridiculous, that we would have anything left by that time, even 2100, almost as absurd. These far-off dates as if something could, may, might happen in 100 years to pacify the population while the walls literally cave down on their head. So we're talking about the year 2100 and even beyond, the report states, ultimately triggering atmospheric concentrations of carbon dioxide just below 2,000 parts per million. That's far in excess of the current level of 410 parts per million. It's questionable that humanity would let things get that bad. Is it questionable? Are we doing anything about it now except climate engineering and doubling down on climate engineering? And that's where Pompeo fits into the equation as well, who also patently denies that human activity has done anything to the climate, but yet we need to climate engineer. The whole Trump administration, 100% behind the ramping up of climate engineering, and it is being ramped up to unimaginable levels right now under this administration. Just part of the ongoing power structure theater. That's all it is. Sorry if that offends you. Sorry if you think Mr. Trump was some sort of deity that was going to save us. That is absolutely delusional beyond comprehension. Same with those who worship Clinton or Obama or the rest. Total delusion. They're part of the power structure. Face reality and help us to sound the alarm. Final statement from this report from the Post. Human-driven climate warming is driving changes in the ocean that are epic in the context of Earth's history. They commensurate with some of the biggest and most fundamental reorganizations of life support systems on the planet. They are the biggest. The current changes are happening statistically at minimum 170 times faster than at any point in Earth's history that we know of from paleo data. And that is a conservative figure. Let's consider this headline from phys.org and other sources. Reefs are dying. Scientists hope lab bred. Think of the insanity, the human insanity from climate engineering to GMO crops. And now we have lab-bred super corals. Here's the headline. Reefs are dying. Scientists hope lab-bred super corals can help revive them. No mention of climate engineering, destroyed ozone layer, and intense UV radiation that is killing the reefs. Let's pretend that's not happening, and let's try to make some GMO coral, genetically modified coral. Miami entrepreneur and board member of the New Frost Museum, Ted Kaplow, who donated $1 million to the engineered super coral project, said this: "We talk about the rainforest, we talk about global warming, we talk about ozone. All of those are processes that are much slower and less urgent than the loss of the coral reef," he said. "If this trend continues, coral reefs are just going to be something in history books for our children and grandchildren." Again, off-track individual that is not properly prioritizing and apparently has not seen the geoengineering elephant in the sky that's destroying the ozone layer, that's causing the UV I just mentioned, and he thinks that somehow the reefs can die, we'll all be here, everything will be fine, Walmart will be open, McDonald's will be selling Big Macs, and our grandchildren will just read about the dead reefs. No, we'll be gone. Long, long gone. But people like this, who have apparently plenty of resources, can't seem to figure out where they could do the most good with those resources. So many in the environmentalist, so-called environmentalist community, like Ted Kaplow, who can't seem to face the climate engineering elephant in the sky because it's just too threatening. So they're going to focus on something else. It's equivalent to mowing the grass or trimming the hedge in the yard while the house is burning to the ground. That's the equivalent. Here's another headline from the Herald Tribune. Alarming number of manatees are dying in Florida this year. Sarasota, an environmental watchdog group, says manatees are dying at an alarming rate this year. Why is that a surprise? Everything is dying right now. Right now. Not in 2300 or 2100. Right now. Another headline. This new report is from insideclimatenews.org. And I'm going to get to later in this broadcast, by the way, the real ramifications of what the power structure will do, may do, as the public begins to wake up to the severity of what's unfolding. And the aerosol operations, the aerosol spraying operations, may be a key component to now what we're being told is a likelihood of a new mysterious virus that may take out civilization. The forewarning from the power structure, perhaps. I'll get to that. But bear with me through these reports of environmental biosphere collapse that are the bottom line. Economy doesn't exist without a functioning environment. Doesn't exist. Can't exist. So when you see all the Wall Street economists and so-called experts claiming that such and such will happen if certain economic policies are followed, it's all complete disinformation. Completely orchestrated disinformation. The only thing that allows civilization to exist is a functioning biosphere. When that ends, civilization ends. Period. Again, back to this report from insideclimatenews.org. Massive permafrost thaw documented in Canada portends huge carbon release. These releases have the potential to be life-ending events on the planet. In fact, the likelihood, if we stay on the current course, the certainty of life-ending events on the planet. Study shows 52,000 square miles in rapid decline, with sediment and carbon threatening the surrounding environment and potentially accelerating global warming. Potentially, again, potentially, may, might. When you have massive methane blowouts happening in the permafrost, there's no could, may, might, or potentially. Obviously, that's going to have an extremely dire effect on the climate. And to put this back in mathematical terms, it's thought there's 10,000 gigatons in the Laptev Sea, the seabed of the Laptev Sea alone, 10,000 gigatons of methane. If 1/200th of that releases, That's one half of 1% into the atmosphere. That would be 50 gigatons. That would be a 400% increase on the current global warming greenhouse gas effect right now. That would be game over. One half of 1% of what's in that region alone, game over on our planet. This report continues. Huge slabs of Arctic permafrost in northwest Canada are slumping and disintegrating, sending large amounts of carbon-rich mud and silt into streams and rivers. A new study that analyzed nearly 500,000 square miles in northwest Canada found that this permafrost decay is affecting 52,000 square miles of the vast stretch of Earth, an expanse the size of Alabama. According to researchers with the Northwest Territories Geological Survey, permafrost collapse is intensifying and causing landslides into rivers, lakes that can choke off life. There we are, can. There's no can. All these researchers and journalists use these words so that it doesn't sound so certain, so that people go back to sleep. There's no can. When these landslides occur, when the carbon enters the atmosphere and all this material goes downstream, it will choke off life. It is choking off life. That's one of the reasons why life is disintegrating. For all those that blame all the ocean die-off on Fukushima, again, Fukushima horrible, but that is not the core cause of the immediate die-off at the moment. Not to downplay Fukushima, but there are many other factors. This is one. Anyway, we're back to the can choke off life downstream, all the way to where the rivers discharge into the Arctic Ocean. Similar large-scale landscape changes are evident across the Arctic, including Alaska, Siberia, and Scandinavia. The researchers wrote in the paper published by the journal Geology in early February. Just one of the many events unfolding around the planet that we're not told about while we're seeing the theater on the mainstream media news. This new headline from the UK Guardian and other sources: burning coal may have caused Earth's worst mass extinction. New geological research from Utah suggests that the end Permian extinction was mainly caused by burning coal ignited by magma. These are similarities between the climate change that nearly wiped out life on Earth 252 million years ago and the climate change today. Again, no mention of climate engineering. Both appear to have largely been caused by burning coal. A 2011 study found that over the past 500 years, species are now going extinct at least as fast as they did during the five previous mass extinction events. There's a lie. There's a big lie. It's happening exponentially faster now than at any point in Earth's history. Exponentially faster. And they put a line in there like that so people think, oh, this has all happened before. No big deal. I use this example again when anybody thinks there's anything normal about this. No more normal than throwing someone off a building and say, people die, it's natural. This is not natural. Let's continue with the theme of what is not natural. This headline from multiple sources: polar anomaly flip in an abnormally warm world, Arctic to cool as Antarctic heats up. Now, we're back to what I talked about at the beginning of this broadcast. The climate engineers are desperate to hide the severity of Arctic meltdown from the public as long as possible. They only have so many resources, and they are focused on the northern hemisphere at the moment, more so than the southern hemisphere. And they are bombarding the Arctic with climate engineering operations, which include not just solar radiation management, but sea surface chemical ice nucleation for weather modification. It creates a slush on the surface. And in regard to the ice extent statistic, when the ice pack blows apart and slush scatters onto a wider area of the sea surface, statistically, those in power now and those who run the agencies that they control now consider that a bigger ice pack. When the ice blows apart and scatters over the surface in the form of slush, now the ice just got bigger statistically. Obviously, that's not a fair portrayal, but that's what's happening now to mask the severity of the Arctic meltdown. From this report: interesting and concerning climate change influence weather in the global forecast for the next 10 days as the Arctic is projected to cool down, because let's remember the Arctic was just 60 degrees above normal. It will open a brief window for sea ice to grow above its present track toward a record low maximum. That's what they're trying to avoid, that headline I just read. They don't want another headline that they can't hide of a record low Arctic ice extent for this winter, so they're focusing everything on that at this time of year to mask that headline. However, any new edge ice will likely be weak and thin, as I just stated, relative to past years. That's the bottom line. The Arctic volume, the Arctic ice volume, the mass, plunging. Only surface slush at this point, and they're calling it ice pack. Meanwhile, in sections of western Antarctica, temperatures are predicted to be above freezing over the next week. And all of these various swings are occurring in a world that is considerably warmer than normal. Not considerably warmer. We're in total meltdown. And the only thing statistically hiding it is when they create climate engineered surface chemical ice nucleated cool downs and take a bunch of temperature readings to skew the overall perception of the population. That's a primary aspect of climate engineering. People ask me all the time, why would they do this? Why would they do this? Many, many reasons, many, many agendas. But this is a core agenda to mask the severity of global meltdown from the population as long as possible, in addition to weather warfare, in addition to over-the-horizon radar, DARPA weapons, communications. Many reasons, but this is a prime one. Another headline, Antarctica forecast to be as warm as 49 degrees on March 17th. Today, 2018. Near record temperatures, Antarctica and meltdown. We don't hear about anything about that while the climate engineers focus on the Arctic. Here's a headline from Wired.com. Sea level rise in the San Francisco Bay Area just got a lot more dire. If you move to the San Francisco Bay Area, prepare to pay some of the most exorbitant home prices on the planet. Also prepare for the fact that someday, not so far away, your new home could be underwater. And not just financially. Sea level rise threatens to wipe out swaths of the bay's densely populated coastlines. A new study out today in Science Advances paints an even more dire scenario. As I've said over and over for years on this broadcast and others, it's far worse than anything we've been told. And what do we see now? Headline after headline. It's far worse than we thought. I want to continue with a few more biosphere implosion headlines before I get to the potential of biological warfare coming. Here's a headline from Radio New Zealand and other sources. New Zealand has had the hottest summer on record. Seas around New Zealand saw temperatures that were 6 degrees C above normal. That is incredibly warm. I've had the pleasure of spending time in New Zealand, diving around New Zealand, and seeing penguins there, of course, 6C. That's about 10, 11 degrees Fahrenheit warmer than normal. That is an astronomical change. People have no idea the ramifications of that. This next headline from the LA Times is also a half-truth coupled with a blatant lie of total omission. Study indicates that climate change will wreak havoc on California agriculture. Let me finish this and I'll comment about the climate engineering elephant in the room also omitted from the story. The California, we know, is the breadbasket of the nation, producing more than two-thirds of the country's fruits and nuts, including almonds, pistachios, oranges, and apricots, nectarines, and prunes, and more than a third of its vegetables, including artichokes, broccoli, spinach, carrots. It's valued at more than $50 billion a year. That's the assessment of a paper by the University of California team. But the researchers focused on a different aspect of California's agriculture. You can kiss much of it goodbye because of climate change. No mention of climate engineering. And in the case of California, in the case of Spain and Portugal and other nations, the single greatest destructive factor to that agriculture is climate engineering. This does not mean climate change is not real and ongoing, but climate engineering, again, destroying the ozone layer, pouring down immensely intense UV radiation on crops. The climate engineers also, inarguably, cutting off the precipitation to California year after year with the ridiculously resilient ridge that is a direct result of the global ionosphere heater installations, creating a dome of high pressure that spins clockwise, that helps spin the moisture up and around the western U.S. so it is used to help engineer the cool downs that are occurring further east in the country. Direct result of climate engineers. And here we have, again, another headline that is blaming everything on anthropogenic warming, which is real, while omitting the single greatest climate disruption factor of all and what can now only be considered weather warfare being waged by weather terrorists against the populations of the U.S. in addition to those populations around the rest of the world. This is all-out weather warfare. And those who author articles like this that are omitting the climate engineering factor need to be called out, again, professionally and peacefully, but with many others involved in the conversation so that these individuals know that we know who they are, we know they're lying, and that we intend to hold them legally and morally accountable once climate engineering is disclosed. Be professional, be peaceful, be non-threatening, but call them out publicly. CC as many other people as you can with the communications. Send them credible data. This way, they cannot claim that they didn't know. This new headline from the UK Guardian, climate change is a disaster foretold, just like the First World War. Again, criminal journalism omitting climate engineering, a.k.a. weather warfare, a.k.a. biological warfare. According to the World Wildlife Fund's 2016 Living Planet Report, over the last four decades, the international animal population was reduced by nearly two-thirds. More than a billion fewer birds inhabit North America today compared to 40 years ago. In Britain, certain species are also down by 90%. 90%. Here we have headlines I read earlier in this broadcast talking about what might happen in 2100 or even 2300. And here we are today, 90% decline. I went over last week, 97% decline in fisheries. It's here today. Flying insects have declined by 76% over the past 27 years. Total decline of the insect population as well, 90% in Northern California by our measurements with former Forest Service biologists. Total biosphere implosion is here now. Let's progress into the more dire aspects of what's happening, especially in our skies. Let's consider yet another headline and half-truth and hypocrisy from the Washington Post again, and what connections it has with the data I just covered and what connections it has with what I'm about to cover. Should climate change be called murder? What do you call knowingly killing people? This seems like as good a time as any to shift the climate argument from the debate club to criminal court, and a former California governor, Arnold Schwarzenegger, intends to do just that. Schwarzenegger said, "I don't think there's any difference if you walk into a room and you know you're going to kill someone. It's first-degree murder. I think it's the same thing with the oil companies." Yes, Mr. Schwarzenegger, but what about climate engineering that is saturating our breathable air column with immensely toxic particulates that are wreaking havoc on human health and the entire web of life, that have already been responsible for unquantifiable amounts of death across the board, including the human population? And not a word from Mr. Schwarzenegger. He's only there to further rally the environmental communities who are being incredibly easily orchestrated by the power structure to ignore and deny the climate engineering assault, which is the most immediate threat we face short of nuclear cataclysm. And nobody is mentioning it, including Mr. Schwarzenegger. Now, to give an example, in the effort to make clear how lethal the atmospheric spraying programs already are and may soon become much worse, please stay with me while I try to connect a few very important links in this theme. I want to backtrack a hair to what our government routinely does to try to sicken populations. The U.S. government is still the biggest drug dealer on the planet. Consider this new report from globalresearch.ca. U.S.-supported trade in heroin. 1 million women, 100,000 children are drug addicts in Afghanistan. This is our spreading of freedom of democracy in Afghanistan. The CIA's direct involvement in drug smuggling goes back a long time, not only in Afghanistan, but also all over the world, as the Iran-Contra scandal proved. The now-dead governor of Kandahar province, Walai Karzai, one of the Afghans' biggest drug smugglers, had been a longtime CIA payroll. Walai was Hamid Karzai's brother, the former president of Afghanistan, handpicked by the U.S. shortly after the occupation in 2001. There has been a meteoric increase of opium production in Afghanistan since the U.S. regime invaded the Central Asian country. U.S. government, U.S. military involved in the drug trade to sicken and disable populations. Nothing new about that. Nothing new. Now, let's consider this headline from multiple sources. Follow me through with all this. Ultrafine pollution particles create an air of menace. This is from multiple sources, as I stated. An air quality study has, for the first time, detected nano-sized particles, because they've never looked for them before, by the way. I know this. I've been in high-level EPA meetings in Sacramento, arranged by a congressional rep, told to my face, the system is rigged. They are told what to look for and what not to look for, but now we have someone stepping up. An air quality study, the first of its kind, has detected nano-sized particles of air pollution in children's urine with a diameter of just 100 nanometers, a thousandth of the width of the human hair. These ultrafine particles are the smallest particles found in air pollution and have been linked to heart disease, respiratory conditions, and previous studies. The fact that the population is getting sick and less cognitively functional by the day serves the power structure. It serves the power structure. Final statement from this quote, or this report. If you find nanoparticles in urine, it means that they come into the blood circulation and go into every organ in the human system. These particles are in our air column. There is no dispute about that. We have lab tests from all over the globe, and now we have reports to prove that they are entering and harming every organ in our body. And this absolutely serves the power structure, and no matter what agenda one wants to focus on with climate engineering, and there are many, many agendas, how can we not also consider it to be a form of eugenics? It is absolutely a form of eugenics, and these particles are being absorbed into every living thing. There's no organic anything at this point. The entire web of life is being contaminated by climate engineering, and we have organizations and so-called media sources blatantly ignoring this all-out weather warfare, biological warfare assault on the entire web of life. This is criminal participation in the climate engineering cover-up. Now, let's move this to where it really needs to be. How serious is our situation? Listen to this headline. U.S. military invests $11 million in genetic extinction technologies. They have biolabs all over the world. They're experimenting with lethal pathogens. Why? How hard is it to fill in that blank? Shouldn't be very hard if someone takes an honest look at the wider horizon. So to summarize, yes, the power structure in the military-industrial complex coming up with more lethal pathogens, more vaccinations, and mentally preparing populations for engineered pandemics. Think long and hard about this new headline from the UK Telegraph and other sources. Scientists put on alert for deadly new pathogen, disease X. From this report, the World Health Organization, WHO, has put scientists and health workers around the globe on alert for a new and potentially dangerous pathogen, disease X. Each year, the Geneva-based organization, which is charged with monitoring and safeguarding world health, convenes a high-level meeting of senior scientists to list diseases that pose a serious risk of sparking a major international public health emergency. I would argue these are planning sessions. They're planning sessions. In previous years, the list has been confined to known killers such as Lassa fever, which is currently sweeping Nigeria, and Ebola, which has killed more than 11,000 people in an epidemic in West Africa. However, this year, a ninth mystery pathogen has been added to the watch list for the first time. These diseases pose major public health risks, and further research and development is needed, including surveillance and diagnostics, said WHO in a statement. Disease X represents the knowledge that a serious international epidemic could be caused by a pathogen currently unknown to cause human disease. How would they know this? How would they know this unless this is simply part of the preparation, the mental preparation for populations to think, oh, this was foretold. They knew it was coming. I should just accept it. This is part of the plan. Back to biosphere implosion, back to power structure desperation, and back to them not being willing to allow populations to wake up and fully understand what's been done to them. They only know how to double down. And a global pandemic will likely be one of the cards they play. Experts on the WHO panel said disease X could emerge from a variety of sources and strike at any time. Think of the absurdity of how they would know all of this unless it's part of the plan. History tells us that it's likely the next big outbreak will be something we have not seen before, said the chief executive of the Research Council of Norway and scientific advisor to the WHO committee. He said, quote, it may seem strange to be adding an, quote, X to the point is to, but the point is to make sure we are prepared and plan flexibly in terms of vaccines. There's the vaccine factor again. They have a reason to inject more people, which is killing them anyway. And in regard to killing them, let me give a statistic. So for those who still cling to the vaccine notion as being something good, African children that are vaccinated are 5 times more likely to die in the first 5 months. Is that an accident? I don't think so. We want to see the plug-and-play platforms develop, which will work for any of a wide number of diseases, systems that will allow us to create countermeasures at speed, i.e. vaccinations, to vaccinate the population. Advances in gene editing technology, which make the manipulation or creation of entirely new viruses possible. This is what they're doing in the labs I spoke about earlier. Engineering pathogens mean that disease X could emerge through an accident or an act of terror. Now let's remember what I played on previous programs. Geoengineer Ken Caldera from Stanford saying in his own voice, what he did for the government was to engineer pathogens to seed clouds with to infect the populations below. Listen to him say that yourself. If you search his name on our site, you'll find the audio recording. That's reality. The report continues. Disease X could come out of a renegade laboratory. Would that be any surprise, really? When this is what our government does, and other governments, I don't want to single out our own, they're all corrupt. One of the researchers warned that disease X was less likely than a naturally occurring one, but stated, quote, synthetic biology allows for the creation of deadly new viruses. Why is that a surprise? It's also the case that where you have a new disease, there is no resistance in the population, and that means it can spread fast. Mental preparation for the population, a very likely potential card to be played by the power structure, increasingly, as they become desperate, as the population begins to wake up to what's unfolding because it can't be hidden any longer, the biosphere is imploding around them. We are in for a ride from here on out. This recent headline from the UK Independent and other sources is one to consider, but the conclusions it cites should have long since been clear to anyone that did not have their eyes wide shut. Here's the headline. 20,000 scientists give dire warning about the future in a letter to humanity and the world. From this report, a dire warning to the world about its future, which predicts catastrophe for humanity, is continuing to gain momentum. The letter, which was first released in November, has now been signed by around 20,000 scientists. I covered this briefly in a previous broadcast, but I want to reiterate this scenario is being acknowledged by at least some in academia. The world now seems to be listening. This is a newer aspect of this headline. It is now one of the most discussed pieces of scientific research ever, and its publishers claim it's now influencing policy. Yes, it may be influencing policy, like virus X, disease X. Those in the power structure are petrified about the population waking up in time to hold them responsible for what they have done. And waking up the population is something that all of us must engage in. What's the power structure controlled mainstream media covering? Consider this. What are they covering? Well, all this is going on that I've just outlined in this broadcast. While civilization goes down in flames, the biosphere going down in flames, what are they covering? Hours and hours of Stormy Daniels. Stormy Daniels, the latest chapter in the theater that's designed to distract populations on all sides of the fence, and all too many willing to go along with that. We are truly living in an asylum. We're all free-falling toward total environmental and societal collapse. The power structure push toward global conflict, which is what they perceive to be their last option, and which may include the type of engineered virus X pandemic, which I just outlined, continues. This push continues. The final countdown is not off on the horizon somewhere. It's not off somewhere in the future. It's here, now. If we're to have any chance of changing course in time to salvage anything, it will take our collective efforts. The battle for the greater good cannot be waged by the few on behalf of the many. And I get so many messages from people that don't seem to stop and consider what they might do to move the ball forward in this fight. I get a lot of instructions on what else I need to do. I'm doing as much as I can, and I will continue to. I will absolutely continue to. I will man this post till the brutal bitter end, no matter what comes. But all are needed in the front line of the fight to wake the masses to what is unfolding. All are needed on the front line of the fight to alter the current course of the human race. Reaching a critical mass of awareness is absolutely essential. Our legal efforts are ongoing, by the way, and it looks as if we may get the 7,000 documents from NOAA that I mentioned earlier. Our attorneys are working on this now. I'll make announcements when I can. We have some very extensive testing going on with some samples right now that are revealing engineered particles in those samples. We're working on every possible front on this side, much of it behind the scenes, but we need every aware, awake, and concerned activist to help us to reach a critical mass of awareness. That's the bottom line. We have to have that, or we won't get anywhere. Short of that, all will be lost. Again, I state, Geoengineering Watch will do our best to provide the most credible, compelling data and how you can help instructions. All are on the homepage of our website. If we do not collectively stand and make our voices heard now, then when? When? Make your voice heard. Until next week, this is Dane Wigington with geoengineeringwatch.org.